History shows that when the chips are down and the country is in dire straits, there will be poking through that blackness the green shoots of opportunity. Community radio has proved itself in the last month to an intense level never really seen in its 15-year history as a licensed component of the radio landscape. Many of us are worried. Quite a few of us are standing there in emaciated states holding our Oliver Twist bowl out there. Not so much actually asking for more as just, can we have something in the first place? But instinct tells me, and my knowledge of community radio in the UK tells me, there are one or two people out there with third sector entrepreneurial flair who are thinking, where's this going to go for us? And how can we be driving positive change for what we're doing in our communities? This is the time for local radio. There has never been a greater time, and certainly since the arrival of the internet, for people to need to plug in to local dedicated broadcasting. They want reliable news. They want information delivered by trusted local voices. In radio. That's it. You get the idea. And there I am, you see, in my full flow. And I'm going to interrupt myself, get down off my podium and take a little pause to tell you what's going on here. In radio. Hello and welcome to the In Radio podcast. I'm Dom Chambers, and this is the podcast about the radio industry in which we explore all sorts of exciting stuff like local radio being used for public benefit, the educational side of radio and communications training, indeed, the effect that can have on mental health. But before I go fully down the avenue of what on earth this podcast is all about, I'm just going to extend that initial pause I took to tell you a little thing here. Now, since the lockdown was announced in March, and COVID-19 has impacted on all areas of society and our lives, I was immediately put in mind of a podcast theme called COVID-19 Local Radio Responds. And like Rodin arriving in his Parisian studio with a fresh lump of marble all ready for him to have a go at, he sees a beautiful vision. A vision that his hammer and his chisel is going to realise over the course of time. Yes, my vision was forming very, very quickly of the perfect podcast, examining all aspects of how local radio has responded to the crisis the country finds itself in. Conversations duly took place up and down the land, people sending me audio, the whole thing is going to be marvellous. One slight difficulty, big story, loads of information, not a lot of time to put it all together. So all that's really been happening podcast-wise for me is I've just been storing more and more information away and getting further and further from the date that I can bring it to the listener. This is perhaps not an unusual situation I find myself in on the In Radio podcast. In fact, there's been podcasts that have been furloughed from ages ago because there was just so much information and so many stories to tell and never quite got round to doing it. And I hope that's not the case this time because people have been generous with their time. I've got some really great audio to bring you. And I will try and do so very soon. Meanwhile, my good friend at Andover Radio, David Harbour, comes to the rescue. He wasn't intending to come to my rescue because he wasn't aware that there was anything needing rescuing. He wrote to me a couple of days ago asking for my opinions, a little bit of help, in some audio he's making in support of the hashtag Radio From Home campaign. He sent me four questions and he asked that I just record some answers and send them back over. He stipulated his preference for the answers being around 30 seconds long, but David, you and I have been friends for sufficient amount of time for you to know, yeah, that isn't going to happen. And actually, what he was asking me to do is something I really love doing, which is being interviewed. I do plenty of interviewing, of course, but when I'm being asked the questions, it is a different process, but it's one I'm really happy to engage with. So he sent me the four questions, I start answering them, and as I'm answering them, I'm thinking, hey, this may as well be a podcast. So here it is, a little soupçon to be going on with whilst I continue to prepare the main dish. And whilst that main dish will have reflections of what is happening right across the audio and radio industry, this little whetting of the appetite is in my core home territory of community radio. So as I prepare to get back on my soapbox to remount the podium for which I descended from at the start of this, I'll get started on preparations for my tremendous pronouncements, articulations, and even gesticulations. And whilst I'm having fun doing all that, here's David Harbour to explain how all this came about and to tell us there's some kind of method to the madness here.
Hello, Friday the 1st of May, Andover Radio is taking part in the Radio From Home campaign, and I decided that just before we play the Beatles and All You Need Is Love, we would do a little bit of an explanation about the operation of Andover Radio. Now, it's really not very often that we put the operation of the radio station, or indeed the business, into the ears of the listener. Radio, like a tap in your kitchen. People will turn a tap on, water comes out, and you give it no more thought. You switch the radio on, there's some nice music, and a comforting voice comes back out of you. But I thought this was a really unique opportunity to perhaps explain to our listeners, in a light-hearted and fun way, how we are physically and technically getting our programmes into their radio, whilst also then taking the opportunity, and this is very unique, to explain the struggle that Andover Radio and the community radio sector is having at the moment. So I asked voice of reason, a very well-educated voice, Dom Chambers, to participate in this piece of audio that we're playing ahead of the Beatles' All You Need Is Love. And I asked Dom a handful of questions, which we will cut into our As Live broadcast. Dom, tell us a little bit about your radio station, Summer Valley FM.
Summer Valley FM is a local radio station broadcasting in northeast Somerset. That's the land that lies between the historic cities of Bath and Wells, although we have a strong industrial past with coal mining and heavy industry such as printing and railways. The area has been redefining itself over the last 50 years in a post-industrial context, and Summer Valley FM, which operates under the community licence, is very much part of that development. Bringing a sense of community cohesion amongst communities that were previously quite disparate because of the peculiarities of the coal mining industry and the rivalries between the pits. We're very much about empowering people with the skills and a voice to make radio, empowering those communities as well. And we have opportunities here for businesses to raise awareness of their products and services, and charitable organisations to let everyone know what they're up to for community benefit. I would say through a volunteer base of around 85 people, we're delivering a quality local radio service covering news, human stories, community content, and cracking entertainment with a selection of music that people are always telling me they'd really like to hear on their local radio station.
Let's focus on the wider community radio sector now. What do you think that stations have done that has produced a positive benefit to its listeners and its communities since the lockdown?
Broadly speaking, there are 300 community radio stations broadcasting right now in the UK. And again, broadly, community radio stations fall into two categories. Those are stations serving a geographic location, and generally speaking, they're broadcasting to all the communities there. Or there are those radio stations that are broadcasting to communities of interest, which can be specialist niche areas around lifestyle, for instance, or particular racial or creed targets, such as Islamic-orientated stations. This provides a rare opportunity for people such as government, Public Health England, Department of Health to communicate key messages to communities and people that are often harder to reach or underserved by mainstream media. It is only in community radio, really, that you get non-English language speaking broadcasting taking place. And from what I'm gathering, there are community stations up and down the country that have been really helping in engaging their audiences with information that we need to know in general, or those particular target groups need to know. But as a wider reflection, community radio is largely volunteer-orientated. That immediately places us central to the fabric of community life. So the stories that's coming out of COVID-19, how it affects our lives, that our presenters are articulating on community radio airwaves, are resonating with the audience, with the listeners, because they may well be sharing the same space, the same streets. Their kids go to the same schools. And we might even meet in the supermarket aisle, 2 meters distance, of course. But I think there's an even wider reflection than the amazing job the volunteers in the community sector, often trained to very high standards, are doing in response to COVID-19. And that wider thought is that this is the time for local radio. There has never been a greater time, and certainly since the arrival of the internet sort of 25 years ago, for people to need to plug in to local dedicated broadcasting. They want reliable news. They want information delivered by trusted local voices. They want to share those memories of when we were all able to go to the same pubs to hear a rock band, or the village fair day, the school prize giving, or meeting on the terraces and grounds of local sporting fixtures. Local radio, community radio, articulates the common bonds that exist in our daily lives. And if we're discovering anything out of this terrible situation, it is that we do need to connect. We do need to care, we are caring, and we need to be cared for. And when all that's said and done, we also need to be diverted away from the horrors of everything that's going on. We need that entertainment, we need those cracking music choices. This is the time for local radio to shine, and just as our volunteers are stepping up, it is the time for community radio to step forward. We are stepping forward. We are delivering great local radio. We are being listened to. And whatever the landscape of society looks like post-COVID, community radio will have a big part to play in those times, because we have now established ourselves in a media landscape previously and in the past exclusively occupied by BBC and commercial local radio.
What is the dire situation that's currently facing many community radio stations in the UK?
I think the starting point to answering this question is to have a very quick look at the wider composure of local radio and how those networks are funded. And we'll find that of the three principal networks of local radio in the UK, that is BBC local radio, the commercial networks, and of course community radio, all have quite different funding structures. And two out of three of them really have cohesive funding strategies. BBC local radio is paid for through the licence fee system. Commercial radio is paid for through the relationship between broadcasting and business. That relationship is lobbied for and supported by the powerful and effective radio centre. Community radio doesn't really have a cohesive funding strategy that operates at national levels. And that's partly because inherent in the licence process, only one organisation can own a community radio licence, and that organisation must be charitable or not-for-profit. I've travelled to over 70 community stations in the UK, I've interacted with over 100, and I've built up a picture of how community radio stations fund themselves. Many operate on a multi-funding stream basis. These include revenue around advertising and sponsorship, sales of services such as training or digital media marketing skills. Some stations fundraise for their activities because they're good for their communities. They can get donations in. They may offer some sort of club system, a bit like a crowdfunder really, where you pay an annual amount and that might get you some airtime if you're a local business. Or you get to enjoy a station mug type thing. And then, of course, many community stations follow the hospital radio model of membership and annual subscriptions. Well, if you think about it, the situation that we find ourselves in because of coronavirus, all those revenue streams are going to be affected. Advertising has dropped off. I get no sense that this is a good time to be having discussions around sponsorship. Many, many businesses in the UK are looking to have to close their doors permanently. We're all tightening our belts, so are we going to be donating to the community stations? Is subscribing membership viable with concerns over personal finances? And how practical is training in times of social distancing and self-isolation? And even if we are able to offer training, is it appropriate really to be charging for that training? Most businesses in the UK are facing great uncertainty at this time of COVID-19. And although the need for community radio has never been stronger, I'm afraid the community radio sector is as vulnerable as all the other business sectors to the challenges we're facing as a country. But to close this section on a positive note, history shows that when the chips are down and the country is in dire straits, there will be poking through that blackness the green shoots of opportunity. Community radio has proved itself in the last month to an intense level never really seen in its 15-year history as a licensed component of the radio landscape. Many of us are worried. Quite a few of us are standing there in emaciated states holding our Oliver Twist bowl out there, not so much actually asking for more as just, can we have something in the first place? But instinct tells me, and my knowledge of community radio in the UK tells me, there are one or two people out there with third sector entrepreneurial flair who are thinking, where's this going to go for us? And how can we be driving positive change for what we're doing in our communities? Those will be names and organisations that spring up, and I'll watch that with interest. The key thing, though, is we've all got to get ourselves and our businesses to that point.
What can you tell me about the Radio From Home campaign, and what is it that we're asking the government to do?
There is no question in my mind that community radio is making a fantastic contribution to the catastrophic circumstances brought about by coronavirus. I've always felt that government and other key decision-making bodies in the UK have been really slow to recognise the extraordinary phenomenon of community radio, how the process of involvement in making radio at community level is helping meet significant social challenges around lack of opportunities, lack of skills, isolation. The ethos of inclusion and participation makes a fantastic difference to how people can progress their own lives and their opportunities, but also how communities can work closer together. Whether those communities have people living in them who are rurally isolated, or you're in intense urban environments like Manchester or Birmingham. But there's something else that's glaringly obvious to me, and many of us who are working in this sector, but actually others outside of our merry band of community broadcasters have been rather slower to understand, and that is we are generating a growing audience. For reasons I haven't got time to go into now, but that audience has at the very minimum got to be 600,000, and I suspect it's a great deal more than that. Those audiences combine people interested in mainstream media and consuming mainstream media, but it also has a sizable element of people who aren't really engaging in other media sectors. And that may be because they don't speak English as a first language, or they feel dispossessed or alienated from other parts of society. COVID-19 has shown there's a major opportunity here to use community radio as a way of communicating information of public benefit that enhances physical and mental well-being. And we've got to figure out how we're going to exploit these opportunities. We need to raise awareness of what community radio achieves in this country. One way of doing that is to get something trending on Twitter. Twitter is a great vehicle for carrying positive messages about the achievements of community radio. It's social media that's very used by people in political circles and a great vehicle for us all to consume media. We need a hashtag that we can all get behind. And then if we're all using it, it starts to trend, and that will create a life form of its own. What I like about the hashtag Radio From Home is that it achieves all that, but actually it achieves it in the context of what we all need to be doing, which is staying at home, self-isolating, certainly socially distancing. So the responsibility that we feel as media organisations and how we can help the government to combat coronavirus and all its consequences is inherent in the campaign. I think it's fantastic. Hashtag Radio From Home. My only concern is that I get repetitive strain syndrome from getting it out there. Let's do it. Tweet now. We are together. We are united. And let us all create a better future for radio and media with social purpose.
In Radio Conversations with Dom Chambers. Radio Today.
Right. Well, David's questions have been answered. I've had fun doing it, and I think we'll bring these stream of thoughts to a conclusion for the moment. Been good, as always, having your company on the In Radio podcast, and I'll see you back here very soon for the grown-up version of it. Stand by for COVID-19 Local Radio Responds.